This is Karen Lyle of SalesSport Talk. The 37th America's Cup is already beginning the design race where each team tries to build a faster boat within the rules and they try to keep their boat designs a secret from the other teams. With secrets come spies. For the 37th America's Cup, the spies are now official. One spy boat, called a recon boat, is assigned to each team, and the moment the boat comes out of the shed, the spies take photos and videos and share it with all the other teams. Spying is a part of the game, but now it's officially organized by the race rules. Spies sharing with all the teams should make for an interesting twist to this fascinating race that is all about boat design. It is a technology game as much as it is about the skill of the pro sailors. Each team is allowed to build two boats within the box rule, and then the teams go into hiding to design, build, and engineer the boat. This takes about 10 months. And the spy's job is to wait outside and catch glimpses of what goes in and out of the private spaces that the boats are being built in, because maybe something one team is doing will influence the other team's designers if they learn about it soon enough. The boats are built with carbon fiber composite and are right up there with aerospace technology in terms of techniques, safety factors, electronics, and software that are used. The 37th America's Cup teams are building very complex and sophisticated sailing machines. This has been a SailSport Talk Spotlight. This is Karen Lyle with a SailSport Talk Historical Spotlight. On July 16, 1881, Ida Lewis was awarded the rare Gold Life-Saving Medal from the United States government, the first woman to receive it. The citation for the Gold Life-Saving Medal said, "Rescuing from drowning at various times at least 13 persons, and particularly for the rescue of two soldiers who had broken through the ice near Lime Rock on the afternoon of February 4, 1881. During her lifetime, Lewis was called the bravest woman in America, and her exploits were detailed in the national press. She met President Ulysses S. Grant, General William T. Sherman, and Admiral George Dewey. Members of the women's suffrage movement, including Elizabeth Cady Stanton, used Ida Lewis as an example of the inherent strength of women. At least two pieces of music were named for her, the Ida Lewis Waltz and the Rescue Polka Mazurka. Ida Lewis hats and scarves were sold. In 1924, the Rhode Island legislature officially changed the name of Lime Rock to Ida Lewis Rock. The Lighthouse Service changed the name of Lime Rock Lighthouse to the Ida Lewis Rock Lighthouse, the only such honor ever paid to a keeper in the United States. It is now the clubhouse of the Ida Lewis Yacht Club. The burgee of the Ida Lewis Yacht Club features a lighthouse with 18 stars representing the 18 people rescued by Ida Lewis. This is Karen Lyle with a SailSport Talk Historical Spotlight.
All right, thank you for that, Christopher. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday. This is when we check in with our friends at SailSportTalk.com, specifically co-hosting this segment. Karen Lyle, how are we doing, Karen?
Well, we are doing just fine. How are we doing, Rick?
Not too bad. Let's bring in our guest. It's Navy Lieutenant Mitchell Campisti. He is here to talk about competing in the Shields Class Sailing Nationals hosted by the Ida Lewis Yacht Club, Newport, Rhode Island, September 6th through 10th. Lieutenant, welcome to the show. My father was a lieutenant commander. He went through OCS at Newport, Rhode Island in the 50s. It's a great Navy town, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a great Navy town, and I'm glad to be back on the show.
Well, Mitch, it's really good to hear from you. And last time we talked to you, you were in Monterey, just graduating from the Monterey Post-Naval Academy. And, of course, part of the commodore of the sailing program there and the yacht club. What is the official name of that yacht club?
So it's the Naval Postgraduate School Foundation Yacht Club. The Naval Postgraduate School Foundation is sort of like an alumni association for Naval Postgraduate School. So we call ourselves, it's a mouthful, it's NPSFYC.
And Mitch, you are going to be competing with members of that club in the Ida Lewis Yacht Club race, Shields races coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about the race coming up in your boat?
Yeah, absolutely. So So last year, that was our first Nationals, 2021. It was myself, Lieutenant Molly Robertson. It was Dean Professor Ron Giacchetti, and it was Jared Valesky, and then Lieutenant Anthony Seda. And now it's going to be myself, Lieutenant Anthony Seda, Ron Ord, John Erard, and Doug Hancher, versus our old teammates from last year. So Molly, Ron Giacchetti, Jared, they're all going to be on the team for NPS. And new guys, Captain Cullen Martin and Ryan Moore, they're going to be joining NPS. And we're happy to receive them as they come and compete with us this year. So Ron Ord, he was on Hawk 245, skippered by Peter Siegel last year. And during our final banquet, he met us and he found out that we were, you know, coming from NPS right to his doorstep, and recruited myself and Tony Seda to come race with him. So now we're on his team and competing against our old team.
I see in the notes that you got your master's in astro engineering and sports. That's where you bang on a garbage can so you know if it's a fastball or a breaking ball. What to you, what is astro engineering?
So the unofficial term that we would say is rocket science, but there's really no such thing as rocket science. There's a lot of different respects. So the actual term is space systems engineering, and I have a specialty in spacecraft dynamic optimization. So it's a lot of cool space stuff at the end of the day.
Do they want you with Space Force, or are you going to stay with the Navy?
No, it's a completely different thing. I intend to stay with the Navy for the rest of my career. I have no intention to cross over, and they weren't pushing anybody to cross over anyway.
Well, I think usually the Navy wants to keep their own.
That's definitely, oh yeah, of course.
The case. Now you are taking a class. Last night when we chatted, you were taking an evening class on ship handling, but you've also written a book about ship handling. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I'm in department head school right now, so I'll be the operations officer on USS Mason coming here next year. That's a destroyer, and at night we have to do ship handling training from 6 to 10 p.m. So we got our department head school, and then we got ship handling as well. It was an article that I wrote for Naval Magazine that basically is spoken towards junior ship handlers, that just give them a little bit of like things that you don't really learn in school, you can't really read in a book, just kind of like experiential things that I've seen out there, and just stuff to kind of give them a head start.
What would be the one thing when you get out there on the water that you have to be wary of as far as competition goes? Because I know you're probably so concentrated on your own craft and you kind of think, if I take care of my business, it won't matter. But what about the competition?
I assume you're talking about sailing, not...
Yeah,
not
sailing.
Ships, right?
Yeah, we're getting back into the sailing now.
Yeah, so one, I got to beat NPS. That's number one for me. For the rest of the boat, we're just focused on getting out there early and really seeing what the deal is going on with the winds and the currents. Around here in Newport, it's very current driven, unlike Monterey Bay. So we're focused on looking at the currents and really looking at the winds on the starting line to really give us a look at, you know, where to head to, where we're going to be on the course. That really tends to dictate who wins and who loses. Guys that go far left, guys that go far right, you know, one of them is correct. And that is very dictated by the winds and the currents out here.
Here in the San Francisco Bay, when there's a current change, as there was in the CLGP race we had, usually the strategy or tactics have to take into consideration where the winds build up around those current changes. Is that similar in Rhode Island?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a mixture of the two. So, you know, first you start with the currents. because that's you know, it's on a astronomical schedule, if you will. So you know, we know that when the race is about to start. So so you start with that, and then you see where the winds are, and then you see how they are and how they're gonna, you know, carry you forward. So it is a very big mixture of both, but you're primarily focused on the one very, very controllable thing that is the currents and whether they're going to be a big effect for that race or not.
Can you like throw up a drone for recon, or is it all just line of sight?
Well, a drone would probably not help at all in terms of that line of sight. Yeah, so you can see we know the currents, and then you can actually see the currents coming off the buoys. So you know the currents on the chart, but then you can kind of verify them and really see how much they're affecting based off of the buoys around and how they're pushing the buoys and what direction they're pushing buoys in. But then you can see the wind off the water. I'm terrible at seeing the wind off the water. So most of the time when my crew members are, you know, talking about winds, I have no idea what they're looking at. I just take their word for it.
Well, I think on those winds, sometimes the darkness of the water coming towards you, or the bubbles in the water. But I'm mostly familiar with doing that kind of wind reading on the bay. I'm not as familiar with the Rhode Island location. Over by Ida Lewis. Tell me though, there is something that you have that you did recently that is totally off this topic of sailing. You were a professional bull rider. And I'm just so curious as how you what you did with that and why.
Who told you that?
It was your dad.
Oh yeah. So that was a thing. Yeah. A couple years ago, when I was an ensign in a JG, I was in professional bull riding, PBR. If you probably see it on TV or not, I was in the middle tier of the three tiers. A lot of people probably don't know that there's multiple tiers of that. It was super exciting always to go travel and to compete against, you know, big name guys. I was essentially not a known guy, but I would ride against you know, guys that are millionaires that do it, and they're very nice and very helpful and very inclusive, and you know, got to be a celebrity for a day, and then you know, I'd hang up my hat and go back to my normal life. But that was, yeah, it was a fun time.
I've been to a couple of those PBR events, and I'm always surprised at how many Brazilians are out there. I mean, it's just, those guys are good riders, huh?
Yeah, it's very, PBR is very, it's very much Brazilians, Americans, and Canadians. There's others, but it's very much that. They're really into it, and they have really good riders. And they have held a lot of great titles for PBR.
Yeah, two of the guests on our boat that when we were in the BVI this last July met each other running with the bulls, and that's you know, that's a little bit different activity than what you were doing riding the bulls.
Yeah, Pamplona.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a very, very different thing. You know, the bulls in bull riding are very trained to do what they do. They're not angry. They're not, you know, they're actually treated very well, and there's a lot of protections for them. They're trained to do their job, and then they go back and eat some hay. The running with the bulls is like some completely different thing. You wouldn't catch me doing that.
I don't think me either.
Yeah.
Not after I heard about it.
Yeah, you got to go to Pamplona for that. So let's make this interview just about bull riding. No, one more question. There was, I remember they called the bulls athletes, which I thought was interesting. But what was your record? What was your time record for staying on top?
Oh, I was in PBR for a short time, and I never successfully rode a bull for 8 seconds in PBR. Mm-hmm. It was tough. It was tough there. Just, you know, I was just happy to be there. Just coming from nothing and competing with guys that, you know, grew up doing it. That was a cool thing for me. I was never able to get an 8 second ride. so you know, sorry to ruin that one, but it was a. All right. I was a little less experienced than my competitors.
Last question. What do you, Sharon, what can you take from getting on a big old bowl and then translate that to the open water? What's the commonality, if there is one?
Well, sailing, as you guys probably know, is not a leisure sport. It can be tough sometimes. You got strong winds, waves, and you're getting crushed and you're cold and it's just beating you to crap. And you can get it, especially on shields, because they're not very comfortable. You can get pretty injured. You got to finish the race. And that's the translatable thing right there, is just getting beat up and just putting that aside and finishing the race.
And then finally, when you report to the USS Mason operations officer, are you going to be in combat control? Or are you going to be up on the bridge on the con? Do you know what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, so first and second tour division officers typically drive the ship. The department heads are typically the tactical action officers down in combat. So, I guess for a really quick synopsis, shooting missiles and tracking, air and surface targets and reporting off ship, communicating with the strike group and things like that. That's what you're doing as a department head mostly. So we still need to keep our proficiency in driving ships, but we're not primarily doing that. We leave that to more of the junior division officers.
It's a destroyer. Just keep your finger off the phalanx unless you need it, all right?
that's the whole idea.
Navy Lieutenant Mitchell Kempisti going to be competing in the Shields Class Sailing Nationals hosted by the Ida Lewis Yacht Club, Newport, Rhode Island, September 6th through 10th. Lieutenant, man, thanks for keeping us safe and our allies safe, and good luck in the race.
Yeah, thank you guys.
So
it's always
much.
Good to talk to you guys. Always good to be on the show. Thank you.
All right, good stuff. And Karen, yeah, very interesting. Thanks for the guest.
Oh, you're welcome. We met actually through the airport livery reveal that I went to down in Los Angeles. So it was pretty cool.
All right, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. We'll see you then.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.